Amen. Thank you, Richard, and welcome to 2021. Is there anyone who's used to saying 2021 yet? I mean, it's just kind of weird, right? To imagine that we're 21 years into a new century, 21 years into a new millennium. Can you imagine that? 2021. No more 2000, like 2007, 2000. It's just 20. 2021, 2022. I mean, man, we're on a roll, right? How many of you are like me? You're kind of glad. You don't want to admit it in public, so don't raise your hand or anything, but I want to see a show of hands on this. How many of y'all are just glad to kind of say goodbye to 2020? Anyone besides me just kind of glad to, yeah, that's okay to applaud that. Hey, and here's what I want to do. I want to commend you, and I mean this very, very sincerely. I want to commend you that at the very start of 2021, you've made a commitment to be here or to be online, but either way, to be a part of the gathering of the body of Jesus Christ, and you are to be commended for that. Now, where are we going to go this morning? I want us, I mean, think about it. If you were the pastor, where would you start? First Sunday, new year, new beginning, fresh. I mean, where what are you going to preach on? Here's what I want to do this morning. I want us to go back to square one of our faith. And what we're going to talk about this morning, what we're going to focus on is something that God has been teaching me over the course of this entire fall. And you've been hearing tidbits and just little bits and just fragments because God's just been teaching me about this subject. But I just want to kind of pull it all together this morning. We're going back to square one of our faith. And here's what we're going to talk about this morning. The gospel. The gospel. Now, even as I say that word gospel, I want to ask you a question. How would you describe, how would you define, how would you explain the gospel right now? If somebody just put a microphone to your mouth and said, okay, speak, explain the gospel, how would you do it? I mean, imagine you're at work tomorrow, break room, coworker comes up to you and says, are you a Christian? And you go, yes, I am. And the coworker says, great, over Christmas, I kept hearing this word, gospel, gospel, gospel. Could you explain to me what is the gospel? What would you say in that moment? Would you go, well, the gospel is salvation in Jesus. The gospel is Jesus died, was buried, rose again. And if you will believe in him, then he'll give you the gift of eternal life. Is that the way you'd go? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. But we're going to look at the gospel. And I pray that by the time we're finished today, that you have a more complete understanding of the gospel. We're going to look at the gospel that Jesus preached this morning. And by the way, if you're sitting there going, Gary, I don't know what I would say. I'm kind of struggling here. Don't worry about it. Timothy Keller said this about the gospel. The gospel has been described as a pool in which a toddler can wade and yet an elephant can swim. Isn't that profound? It is both simple enough to tell a child and profound enough for the greatest minds to explore. I'm telling you, I'm in a study group, and in this study group, one of our assignments was write down your definition of the gospel. And you know, I've been studying this and preaching and teaching a long time, and I struggled a lot more with that assignment than I thought I was going to. And by the time we finished in the study group, I'm telling you, my definition of the gospel, what I'd written down, I changed it completely. Not that what I'd written was wrong, it's just that what I had written was incomplete. And this is something that God has been just opening my eyes to this fall. And so I'm inviting you this morning to lean in as we just start with square one of our faith in 2021. And we look at the gospel that Jesus preached. And let me tell you my hope and my prayer. And then we'll dive into our text for today. It's in Mark chapter 1. Go ahead and open your Bible. And here is my prayer that by the time we finish today, the gospel moves from the rear view or even the side view to the front view, the windshield of your life. For so many of us, the gospel, I mean, it's there in the rear view and we look and, oh, the gospel's important and salvation and Jesus is important. And we look in the rear view or maybe in our case, we look in the side view. We want to make sure it's there, but it's not really informing where we're going. It's not really informing what we're passionate about or what we're setting our goals for. So as we think about 2021, let me ask you this question before we dive into the text. What is your goal concerning Jesus? You go, I don't really understand the question, Gary. Okay, great. What is your goal for your faith in 2021? What is your goal concerning the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ? When you set out your goals for this year, tell me about the goals that you set for your faith. Now, with that in mind, I want to invite you to listen to Jesus and the gospel that he preached. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me because these are the words of our Lord. And I'm going to ask you to read with me from Mark chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 14. And remember, these are the words of our Lord. Listen to this. Let's read it together. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Amen. God bless you. Thank you for honoring God's word and God by standing as he speaks and we listen. Here's one thing that I want you to walk away with today. The gospel you preach determines the kind of disciple you make. I'm telling you, the gospel that you believe will determine the kind of disciple that you are. Let me ask you to think about that statement for a second. The kind of gospel that you believe will determine the kind of disciple that you are. Already, what you believe about the gospel is informing how you live. It's informing the priorities that you've set for 2021. It is already informed what you are passionate about this very day. I'm telling you, what you believe about the gospel has already set the motion for your life, the direction for your life in 2021. But let me add to that, the kind of gospel that you preach, that you share with others, that you share with your children, will determine the kind of follower they make. They become of Jesus Christ. So it's really important that you understand the gospel and that you share the gospel accurately. So let's look at verse 14 together. It says in verse 14, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the, say it with me, what was he proclaiming? The gospel. This is a unique text because it says Jesus is preaching the gospel. And then it goes on and actually records the gospel that he preached. And there are other passages that talk about Jesus and even others preaching the gospel, but it doesn't go ahead and record the actual gospel they preach. But this is unique because it tells us the gospel that Jesus came preaching. And notice when we use the word gospel, it's euangelion, use the Greek word for euangelion, angel, message, messenger, news, good news. The word gospel actually means good news. So Jesus came proclaiming the good news of God. So we ask, what is the good news that Jesus came proclaiming? Look what it says in the very next verse. The kingdom of God is at hand. See, whenever we think of the gospel, I don't know about you, but when I wrote down my definition of the gospel this fall, I mean, it's centered on death, burial, resurrection. And here's my response to the death, burial, resurrection. But here is the cornerstone of the gospel that Jesus preached. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of heaven is now crashing into earth. Do you realize Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God over 100 times? Did you know that he started his ministry, as we see right here in this text, talking about the kingdom of God, and he concluded his earthly ministry talking about the kingdom of God? It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, he presented himself alive to them. This is after his crucifixion. This is after his burial. This is after his resurrection. It says he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. For 40 days, he taught his disciples. What did he teach his disciples about? Speaking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the cornerstone of the gospel that Jesus preached. Because the kingdom of God is absolutely crucial to our understanding of the gospel. You see, Scripture teaches there are two kingdoms. There is, first of all, the kingdom of this world. Now, in the kingdom of this world, we inherited a nature that just longs to be our own God. In the kingdom of this world, you desire and I desire to have no one in authority over us. Our theme song is, I did it my way. And we brag because nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to believe. I'll do as I please. Do you realize that indicates that you are living under the influence of the kingdom of this world? Do you realize the promise that you don't have to live under the authority of anyone else is the promise that Satan made to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? He told them, if you will just eat of the forbidden fruit, you will be like God. Think about it. God doesn't have anybody telling him when to get up or when to go to bed. He doesn't have anybody telling him how to talk or how to act or how to behave. And Satan is saying, you know what? In the kingdom of this world, you're going to love it because you get to be your own God. But Satan, is he a truth teller or a liar? Just work with me here. Which one? Satan really is a liar. See, Satan is the little g god of this world, and that's not just throwing that out there. Do you realize Paul is the one who taught us that? In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the, say it with me, what? Of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, Satan has power in this world, the power to influence, the power to blind. And when you and I live, or another person lives, as a citizen of the kingdom of this world, we can say all day long, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll do as I please. But here's the reality. That person is just blinded because Satan has the ability to blind us, and we think that we're living under our own authority. But the reality is, in the kingdom of this world, we're living under the influence of Satan. But there's another kingdom. There's the kingdom of this world, and there is the kingdom that Jesus announced has come, and it is the kingdom of God. You say, what is the kingdom of God? One defines it like this, the rule of God. Another defines it like this, the kingdom of God is the restoration of God's rule over all things. When we talk about the kingdom of God, you got to understand something. The cornerstone of the gospel that Jesus preached is what? The kingdom has come. But when Jesus says the kingdom of God has come, it's come already, but not yet, not in all of its fullness. See, God created the heavens and the earth, and he reigned over everything. But then Satan rebelled along with all of the demons, and they were kicked out of heaven. And then in the garden, Adam and Eve rebelled against the authority, the rule of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is the rule of God, the rightful reign of God. It is the authority of Jesus over our life. And they rebelled against the authority of Jesus over their life. And so what happens? Now, Jesus has been restoring, God reigned, Now what's happening? Jesus is restoring the reign of God over all of his creation. And even this very day, Jesus is inviting you. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Spirit is inviting you, convicting you, prompting you to come and live under the good, kind, gracious rule of God. Live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so God reigned. God is restoring his reign. And then one day Jesus is going to come back and he is going to reign fully because every knee is going to bow. That's what scripture teaches, right? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, say it with me, every knee should bow and every tongue confess, right? So, the kingdom of God has come already, but it has not come in all of its fullness. Do you realize what good news this is that Jesus brought? The kingdom has come. The rule of God has come, and it's already, but not yet. The good news is God has not left us to fend for ourselves. Amen. The good news is evil will not ultimately triumph over good, even though a lot of days it sure seems like it's going to. See, the good news is God will come again and he will fix what is broken in our world and in our hearts. The good news is God invites us to live as a citizen of his kingdom on a new earth, in a new heaven, forever and ever and ever and ever. So the gospel is, first of all, the kingdom has come. The gospel that Jesus preached is, second of all, that Jesus is the King of the kingdom. When Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, you are the Messiah," the Jews in the first century believed in the kingdom of God. And they believed that God was going to come and reign over the whole earth and make his capital in Jerusalem. They believed in the reign of God and the rule of God and the authority of God over every life. What they were struggling with is whether or not Jesus was the King of the kingdom. And when Peter said, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah," he was saying, "You are the rightful King of the kingdom." And Paul adds in a couple of other really crucial aspects to the cornerstone of the gospel. When Paul said, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. So what is the cornerstone of the gospel? There's a kingdom, and Jesus is the King of the kingdom. And Jesus died on a cross in our place. And Jesus rose again and defeated sin, death, Satan, and hell. And notice the response that Jesus called for in the gospel that Jesus preached. It says in verse 17, do you see it? Repent and believe. Do you see it? Repent, believe. And then what does he say to Simon? Follow me. Repent, believe, and follow. Let's put this all together. What is the gospel that Jesus preached? There's a kingdom. Jesus is the King of the kingdom. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. And our response is to repent, to believe, and to follow Jesus. Let's take repent, believe, and follow in order. Notice repent. Jesus said repent. You want to know the gospel that Jesus preached? It's a gospel of repentance. Remember the context. The context is the kingdom of God has come. What is the kingdom of God? It's the rule of God, the rightful reign of God over every heart, every life. So what does it mean to repent? It doesn't mean to say, "Man, I'm sure sorry I yelled at my kids, God." And though that's a good thing to tell God. "I'm sure sorry about that affair, God." And that's a good thing to tell God. Tell him you're sorry. But the repentance that Jesus calls for is really a little more specific in that. It is a repenting of having rejected the rule and the reign of Jesus over your life, refusing to live in submission to the one who is in authority over you. And so when you repent, you are saying, "I am turning from living in rebellion
to living in submission to you. The word repent can mean to turn and go in a different direction. It is to confess that you've lived in rebellion against Jesus and to change your mind and commit yourself to live in submission to him, to go from defying to bending the knee, to go from a clenched fist to a bended knee. That's what it means. It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's saying I am making an about face. To repent is to bow, to submit. Think about that for a New Year's resolution. Lord, it's January 3rd. Can I still get one in? Here it is. Lord, I am sorry that I have lived in rebellion against your authority. And my resolution this year is to live more fully in submission to you. And the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the teachings of Scripture. That's a New Year's resolution worth making. Repent, the gospel that Jesus preached, is second of all, believe. Are you tracking with me this morning, church? This is what Jesus preached. He said, repent and believe. And he wasn't saying believe a certain set of facts about Jesus, death, burial, resurrection. You know, Satan believes that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. The demons believe, and they actually tremble. That doesn't mean they're going to heaven. He wasn't saying, I want you to believe in a set of facts. He wasn't even saying, I want you to believe in some general way in a dude named Jesus. Actually, he spells it out for us. Notice that he says, believe in the, say it with me, what? And what is the gospel? There is a kingdom. And Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And Jesus died. And Jesus was buried. And Jesus rose again, conquering sin, death, Satan, and hell. To believe in the gospel is to say, Jesus, I believe you are the king. I believe you are the one who is rightfully in authority over my life. I believe that you are God and that I am not. To believe in Jesus is to embrace Jesus as your king. Amen. And that's what Paul said, right? Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus, you are rightfully the one who is in authority over me, and I submit to your authority. I submit to your right to rule over me, and I will live under your kind, gracious rule. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Believe all of the gospel that Jesus preached, and you shall be saved. And then Jesus said, repent, believe, and what's the next one? Help me out. Follow. You guys are listening so well. I love that. Follow. This is being a disciple of Jesus, not just making a decision for Jesus. One person writes, don't confuse making a decision about Jesus with being a disciple of Jesus. Bill Hull, a guy that I've been reading a lot as I've been trying to understand the gospel in a more complete way. He says, Jesus doesn't call people to make a mere decision of the mind, but to live an entirely new life. If you believe that, will you say amen? Because Jesus invites us to repent, to believe in the gospel, and to follow him. The gospel that Jesus preached invites us to come and die, invites us to come and bend our knee and surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. Now, here's the reality. There are a number of different gospels that are being preached in our day. There's a forgiveness-only gospel. And this is a gospel that really just focuses on the cross. And okay, now I'm going to believe these facts about Jesus, and I'm going to ask Jesus to save me, and now I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And it's not like that's a false gospel, but it is an incomplete gospel because it doesn't really focus a lot on repentance or following. It just focuses on believing. And Jesus said, repent, believe, and follow. And the adherents of a forgiveness-only gospel tend to excuse their sin rather than repent of their sin. And they say things like, you know, I know such and such is wrong, no matter what it is. Talking to my wife that way, treating my kids that way, having this affair, embracing an alternative lifestyle, embracing any kind of sexual relationship outside of a husband-wife relationship. I know that may be wrong in your eyes, but hey, that's just the way God made me. And besides, I believe in Jesus, so I know he's going to forgive me and I'm going to go to heaven when I die. See, when we embrace a forgiveness-only gospel, it makes repenting and following optional. And Jesus never preached that gospel. But there's also a social gospel, and this is a gospel that's preached in liberal churches that focuses on the transformation of society more so than the transformation of souls. And all of these gospels have elements of the truth in them. And the reality is, if you follow Jesus, you're going to care about hungry people and naked people, and you're going to care about the disadvantaged and the widow and the orphan, and you're going to impact and embrace those who are hurting. Jesus came healing and blessing, but here's the reality. It's only partly true, because those who follow the gospel that Jesus preached, he calls us to repent, not just of not caring about the poor, he calls us to repent of rejecting his authority over every area of our life, and to believe that he is our rightful king, and to commit ourselves to follow him in every area, whether we agree or don't agree, whether we want to or don't want to. He is our king, our authority, and so we will follow and obey him. There's a social gospel, but you know what? There's also then the prosperity gospel that says God guarantees health and wealth, and it makes God our ATM machine. Unless we cluck our tongues at those who would believe that, let me tell you what we do believe, and it is a consumer gospel. And it's basically the prosperity gospel light. And it just says, hey, you know what? The whole point of faith is that Jesus wants to bless me and protect me and make me happy and give me peace and give me hope and give me joy. And so I'm going to believe in Jesus, and Jesus is going to make me comfortable and happy. People that are adherents of this gospel tend to do a lot of church shopping, always looking for a church that meets their needs. And that's not the worst part. Then they do some God shopping, trying to find a God who will meet their needs. But there's also then the believe right gospel. And I'm telling you, I preach this gospel all the time. And it's not nothing to do with politics. It's believe rightly, doctrinally, believe accurately. That's why we stand when we read the word of God, because we're declaring these words are true. Though every word that comes out of our mouth be proved a lie, no word in this word will ever be proved to be a lie. And so we believe rightly. But the problem is, believe rightly, it's a good gospel, but it's just incomplete, because it can. It doesn't always, but it can focus more on believing rightly than behaving rightly. And the gospel that Jesus preached invites us to repent of rejecting and living outside his authority over our life. Believe that he is our rightful king, and then begin to follow him and obey him in all that he calls us to do, whether we like it or not, want to or not. And then there's the kingdom gospel, and the kingdom gospel is this. There's a king. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. He died and rose again, and he calls us to repent, believe, and follow. And in the kingdom gospel, you simply cannot disconnect. You cannot separate conversion and following, conversion and discipleship, conversion and disciple making. Think about the rich young ruler. Hey, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Keep all the commandments. The guy was a humble little man with much to be humble about. He tells Jesus, done, check. So Jesus tells the rich young ruler, okay, here's what you do then. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. The rich young ruler goes away sad. Notice the text does not say the rich young ruler lost his microphone. And it doesn't say the rich young ruler was okay with that. Because the rich young ruler told Jesus, hey, Jesus, you know what? No can do. Hey, this is just the way God made me. I'm just not that generous. I'd love to grow in my generosity, but I'm not there yet. And I'll get there someday, I'm sure. But here's the deal, Jesus. I still believe in you. So I'm going to heaven when I die, right? No, he went away sad because he knew that unless he was willing to repent of his rebellion against God's authority over his life, unless he was willing to believe that Jesus was his rightful king, and unless he was willing to follow Jesus as his king, then he had no part in Jesus. And so he went away sad because he knew that repentance and belief leads to following. And by the way, if you think I'm preaching a work salvation, oh, you are totally wrong. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of what? Works. We are not saved by works. We are not saved by works. But make no mistake about it, we are saved for works. And if you look at your life and there's a lot of believing but not much repenting and not much following, you better re-examine your believing. And make sure that you've believed in the gospel and not just in Jesus in a general way. So here's what I want to ask you to do, and I'm out of time, and I see that. Every week somebody says, would you just stop saying that? Okay, I ignore the fact that I'm out of time because I'm not going to say it. But here's what I want to ask you to do. Number one. Would you just take just a moment to identify the gospel that you believe? Of all of the gospels, forgiveness only, social prosperity, consumer, believe right, kingdom, what gospel have you embraced? And then in light of the time, let me just say this. Here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you this morning, I'm telling you, God has been working on me, downloading this into my mind and my heart this whole fall. I've been just chomping at the bits to preach this sermon because I believe it in my gut that it's true. And I'm asking you online, I'm asking you, those who are gathered here, to embrace the kingdom gospel. I'm asking you to embrace the gospel that Jesus preached. I'm asking you, if you have never done so, to come to Jesus and say, I repent of living in rebellion against your authority over my life. To say those exact words, say them right now. And I'm asking you to say, and Lord Jesus, I believe in the gospel. That there's a kingdom of God and there's a kingdom of this world, and Satan is the little g god of this world, and he is blinding my eyes, thinking, making me think that I can live under my own authority and I can do as I please. But I acknowledge and I believe in the gospel. I believe that there is the kingdom of God, your rightful rule, and I believe, Jesus, you're the rightful king, and I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again, conquering sin, death, Satan, and hell. And as in response to that, I commit myself to follow you, my king, wherever you lead. That's what I'm asking you to do, to embrace the gospel that Jesus preached. Second, to embrace that gospel daily. To daily renew your commitment to follow Jesus. And you go, how in the world, can you give me a, yes, here's what I'm inviting you to do. Every morning when you get up, just say, God, how could you be so good to me? You have come and died. You have beaten the grave. You've offered me salvation. You've given me salvation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm in. I don't have to win your approval. I don't have to earn your approval. You've already approved of me. I'm a child of God. I'm chosen. How could you be so good to me? And so, God, today, I just want to focus on the following because of what you've done for me. And so show me how I can love you more effectively. Show me how I can love others more effectively today. That's what I'm inviting you to commit yourself to. Daily following your king, whose name is Jesus. And by the way, there's no better way to follow your King and love him and love others than to share the gospel with those who are not followers of Jesus and make them a disciple, and then to baptize those who are saved and connect them to this gathering, and then to teach them how to obey all that God has commanded them to do. That's what I'm inviting you today to do, to embrace the gospel that Jesus preached and daily renew your commitment to follow Jesus as your King. Let me pray, and Richard's going to close us out. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for causing your kingdom to come crashing into earth. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would remove the blinders from eyes this morning, and that we would all together confess you as our King, our Lord, our God, our Savior. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.